Today we're going to look at who Christ is in our lives. This morning I was just thinking about the people that actually put the palm fronds and the clothes waiting for Christ and singing hallelujah, Hosanna. What was in it for them? What were they looking for? And I'll tell you in a minute, but before we go into that, I want us to look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is a psalm that actually, one of the prophecies about the birth of Christ, the Christ that will come to Jerusalem on the cross. Isaiah has the same. So the people around you, the Israelite people knew that Christ will one day come as a king, triumphant. And what they were looking for was actually a political king. They were not looking for a spiritual king. We'll come back to that. But before we do that, have you ever, was it before there was a being? You still have your pain, haven't you? What do we normally put in a being? The things that we discard is the things we put in a being. And I ask myself this morning, as I live, what is the cornerstone that I rely on? What is the thing that I lean on when I'm weak? Lean on me when you are not strong. The cornerstone that was rejected, the stone that was rejected has become the cornerstone. Christ, because he was not the same as the world, was rejected. And as the passion, you'll be hearing about the passion next week, Good Friday. But I tell you, before I continue, without the death and resurrection of Christ, Christians will have no faith. Our kingdom, the kingdom of God, will have not expanded that it has now. But we know, we have the hope that God, our God, is a God who is more than able. A God who gives us hope. A God who gives us, who redeems us from our bottomness. But the psalm starts by saying, Psalm 118, verse 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord for his good. His steadfast love endures forever. If you go to the final verse, he repeats the same thing. The psalmist was so intrigued with Jesus, with the coming of the Messiah, with the coming of something that would be discarded, but something that would become the value, the redeeming factor in our life. This is from brothers in Christ. If you look at Psalm 118, 1 and 2, 16 verses were left out. But I like the 19th. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. What is your gate of righteousness? Who do you look up to when things are so hard? Where do you go? And who is Christ in your life? 21 says, I thank you that you have answered me, and I'll become my salvation. We have this hymn. He has become my salvation. And I'm going to sing that hymn today as I live there. But I like the verse 22. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And I don't know those of us who have seen building works done. The foundation is laid strongly that building later becomes stable. If the foundation is not laid strongly, then the building will not stand. Who is your foundation? Who is your stone? He says to you and I, lean on me when you are not strong. Jesus was rejected. He came to the royal the well rejected food. And today marks the beginning of the Holy Week. As today marks the beginning of the Holy Week, I want to draw your attention to the Jewish festival that everybody goes to. And it's a celebration of their liberation from their masses in Egypt. And now, too, the Israelites are still under Roman occupation. So they were crying out for a redeemer. They were crying out for someone to take them out of their dilemma. And today I want to ask you, what are some of the inner impulses in you? What are the things that you're crying out for? And this morning I was just looking at the things I wish I had. I wish if I had that car. I wish if I had that job. I wish if I had this. I wish if I had that. How would that give you the self-actualization that Abraham Maslow talks about? Would that give you the peace? Jesus said, I'll give you peace. The peace that the world cannot give. And today, as people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna actually means save us. Save us. They were going through situations they don't like. We, as we sit here, each and every one of us, I know, that are going through certain situations that are coming. But who do I look at to? Who do I actually speak to and who do I actually follow? Sometimes I pray that Lord, direct someone to me, someone that will be useful, that someone that will help me out of this. So, in the back of all the Hosannas, they were looking for a leader that will actually come and liberate them from their passions. Are you looking for a liberator? What are your inner places? What are the things in your life that you want to change? That's why I change one of the things to what a friend we have in Jesus. Have you trials and temptations taken to the Lord in prayer? So, first of all, there are three things I'm going to talk about the Romans, the New Testament really. And it's about the organization, the beginning, how Jesus actually organized his entry into Jerusalem. We know that it was a feast that they celebrate every year. So every day there were so many people coming to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is not a short, it's not short of people coming to show off. Later I'll talk to you now about Pontius Pilate came on that same week from the west. And he came with armies, he came with chariots, he came with strong horse warhorse. He came as a leader that is domineering. He came as a leader that put fear. He came as a leader that actually let people know that yes, he has power. By contrast, we look at Jesus. He sent two of his boys. He said, go to this place. There is a donkey and a colt. And tie them and bring them. And when you go there and everyone asks you, say to them that the Lord needs them. This is what I was asking myself. How can that be possible? How can the one that allowed that to happen? And the God that created heaven and earth is your God. There's nothing that he doesn't have. So what I'm trying to say to you this morning is, forget about all the inner devices in your life. Look up to the sufficient and all the good things of God in your life that you can tap into. Tap into that. So, first, the organization. Jesus got all this together. But one question I want to ask and ask myself this morning. Only all the four gospels talked about this story. But only Matthew is talking about two. A donkey and a colt. And something is saying Jesus sat on both. How can he sit on both? Some commentators are saying that he sat on the donkey whilst coming down and then entering into Jerusalem, he actually sat on the colt. And that's what we know. But what I'm trying to say here is, he says he's showing his humility. He's showing that he's a king, at the same time, he's a servant king. He's showing that power is not by what we see. It's not by flamboyance. It's not about domineering. It's about sex. It's about saying that this is son of God. And the second one I want to talk about is the crowd. The crowd. Everybody was singing Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Giving respect and loyalty to Christ. And as we saw quoted from the Old Testament, king will come to Zion riding on a colt. Jesus wanted to prove to his people that he is the right and actual Messiah, and he's coming to release them. But on the contrary, like myself, I always pray for things that will help me know that yes, I have come. But is that what God wants me to have? Jesus' death and resurrection has given all of us salvation. They were looking for salvation that would ease them from their predicaments. But the salvation God gives is a salvation that is everlasting. Amen. That is a yea and amen. A salvation that gives peace that never ends. The peace that Jesus gives. And the last thing I want to say about this is the reaction of the people. The reaction of the people. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Come from everywhere, close everywhere. But I always ask myself, what is in it for me? They were actually looking for what is in them, in it for them, right now, right there, and right now. Not knowing that his death, his resurrection, will bring everlasting kingdom, everlasting peace into the world. Sisters and brothers in Christ, today we're not going to talk about the passion and maybe for next week. But what I want to draw our attention to, first of all, is the stone that was rejected has become our salvation. Who is Christ to you? Who is Christ in your life? When he comes to you, you know, when everything is working, everything is hunky-dory, we always forget that, sometimes we forget that there is a God. But when things actually trials and determinations come, then sometimes we turn around and say, who can help me? What a friend we have in Jesus. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Sisters and brothers in Christ, I want to give you some statements about who Christ is. And I'll continue. Jesus is the one who says, come to me, all that are weary and carry burdens, and I'll give you rest. Jesus is the one who says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. This is the one who says, do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not let them be afraid. He's the one who says, I am the good shepherd. He's the one who says, who calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He's the one who says, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the one who says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the one who comes that we may have life, have it abundantly. This is the one who is making all things new. And today, Jesus is making all things new in your life. This is the one who embodies God's promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is the one who says, remember, I am with you always to the ends of the world. I hope you hear the echoes of Easter in the list of who this one is. Because I'm going to ask you to do something. And I'm not going to ask you to do it today. But whatever your holy week is, whatever brings you, takes from you, or asks of you, it is already with sounds, with the elbows of wisdom. That's always the tension in holy week. It is the tension in our lives. And it is because the tension in Jesus' life. So keep awake and be ready. Do not for 1 minute close your eyes or turn away from your holy week. Because this is one who enters the tumor of Israel. One who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the one who will rise to a new life on the third day. After all this, I just reflected on something this morning. There was a member of our church who was hospitalized for a long time. And I will call him and we pray. And my prayer had always been, brother, you're coming home. And he kept telling me, I'm not coming home. And I will go back and pray on my own for him to come back home. Little did I know that I was called by my minister, that he's been asked to come home. And that was going to be the head, so he's been asked to come home. So my minister called me for us to go, and he actually came from communion. And I was thinking, this Christ Jesus, he knew he was not coming back at all, but Christ knew. He had told his disciples so many times that this building will be bulldozed down, but it will be resurrected in 3 days. So, who is Christ to you? Who is filling that gap? Who is filling that vacuum in your life? As we celebrate the Palm Sunday, as we enter into the Holy Week, as we've been through Lent season, today's Lent six, we've been through a lot, but what has changed? Lean on me, when you are not strong. We have a God who says to us, I will not leave you, I will forsake you. But the way our life is the sacrificial part of Christ's life, and the sacrificial part of God's life. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else shall be added unto you. And I asked myself this morning, so why is all this stress, all this anxiety? He says, I should seek ye the kingdom. You know, he was talking to his disciples and he was talking to them about looking at the things they will eat, what they will wear, everything like that. Seek ye the kingdom. Are we seeking the kingdom? And how can we seek the kingdom? Surrounding ourselves with the word of God, surrounding ourselves with our hymns, making sure that I am sharp inside, coming to church, coming to Sunday school, do whatever we need to do as Christians. But I like young Christians. Say, for God so loved the Lord, that he gave his only begotten. So whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And sisters and brothers in Christ, as they were singing Hosanna, 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 and I want to end by saying this. They were looking for someone who was going to deliver them from their situation at the time. They were not looking at the deliverer, the redeemer that was going to reconcile them with God. The sacrificial lamb. And today I ask myself, how is my walk with God like? How is my relationship with God like? Is it only when I read something that I go on my knees? Or is it every day singing praises, worshiping Him? Even having, this is going to sit in my car until next year, I always do that at my first year. What does this tell me? Service. But I want to end by looking at Matthew's part. Coming from the west, he says, coming from the east. Caleb, he came with power, chariots, army. And I want us to look at our world today. How is power handled? And I don't want to be political, but I want to say this. A country can go into another country and take the president away. That is the power of power. But he says, we come and make sure that we are all the stones are silent. So that Jesus is worth a pound. I don't know if you know about the uses of palm tree. In Genesis chapter 1, after all creation, God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness. And if you continue from 26, he said that, let them take dominion. And if you continue, he says that, you see, God created a perfect world for us. All we need to do is to trust and obey. All we need to do is look up to him. And I want to end by all of us singing this hymn. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Whilst we do his good, he abides with us too. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way. There's no other way. So today, as we enter into the Holy Week, trust whatever word is said in your life. Trust. It's going to happen. Amen.